this morning in Matthew 28, a passage that some of you are probably familiar with or maybe be new to others. The Bible says in verse number 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." You may be familiar with the old song, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." I remember as a kid singing that song. Maybe it was the ease at which I could learn it, but I liked that song. I remember singing it in our church play as a kid. I remember singing that song, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." And 15 to 25 voices, little kids out of control, just singing, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." We just sing it at the top of our lungs. And a lot of good memories of that song, singing them and enjoying that song. But the truth is that during a dark and shameful period of slavery in our country, an unknown African-American slave, largely uneducated people, often humiliated and cruelly treated, simply longed for their freedom. In spite of this plight, God seemed to inspire them to produce songs of incredible majesty and beauty. Those songs, many of them still sung today. Written among those who could neither read or write, they at the same time could sing of the truths they learned from the Word of God. Many of the songs have been saved, and there were many who worked hard to make it happen. In fact, because of the devotion of John Wesley Work, an African-American church choir director in Nashville, Tennessee, he was one who could read or write during that time of slavery. He began to write down and keep hold of songs so that they could be passed on. Writing one song, his brother Frederick is credited for being the one to first recognize the power and potential of the song, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." This folk song captures the feeling of an unknown slave from whose heart these words sprang. Probably unable to read the Bible himself, this anonymous poet imagined the reaction of those shepherds that night when they saw the light. Little did they know, or little did the author know, that expressing those words in wonder during this simple song would mean that that song would last for generations. And you and I, even though we share nothing in common with the man and the troubles that he faced, sing these wonderful words even now. Think of the words that he wrote. "When I was a seeker, I sought both night and day. I asked the Lord to help me, and he showed me on my way. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. He made me a watchman upon the city wall, and if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." I tell you this morning, we have, because of the resurrection we saw last hour, the very presence of Jesus with us. That presence requires something of us. His presence demands that we share his presence with others. The fact that we have Jesus requires that we share Jesus. We talk about this being the season of giving, or the season of sharing, and I agree with that. It's what heaven did with us. It had salvation. It had eternity. It had the Savior, and you and I now have him because God shared him with us. Can I tell you, a Christmas season, I believe, is wasted if it is spent by those who do not share the message of Jesus Christ. We have this incredible opportunity to know of our salvation, and I remind you that we get the privilege to share that salvation with someone else. We listened to a story this morning. These children read the story there of a pilot who knew what he had to offer, something so simple as to give away his ability to fly a plane and a few pieces of gum turned into something amazing. And the same is true when we look at the message of salvation. One child born in Bethlehem had simply the ability to give everlasting life. Simple, not easy. And he gave himself as a sacrifice. God gave Jesus to the earth. Jesus gave himself on the cross of Calvary. And that through his resurrection, you and I have access to his holiness, to his righteousness, to his cleanliness. And he makes us clean as we stand before God. We're saved because of the fact that Jesus shared with us. I tell you this morning that it is required that we be those who share. That we share the message of Jesus. You say, well, how is it? I'd encourage you. I'm not trying to ask you to go out and be weird. We don't have to go out and be weird. We can go out and be grateful. We can be those who are so full of gratitude for what Jesus has done that he just naturally falls off our lips. Have you never known anybody that's tried too hard? You know, they try too hard with something they've been given. And it's usually like a Melaleuca salesman or a Shackley salesman, you know. And this pill will change your life. This ointment, just rub it on. I know it burns, but just rub it and it'll change your life. And they do. They've bought all in and they believe in it. And it becomes just as natural as anything else they talk about. And I wonder if there aren't some believers that if we would just buy all in like that on Jesus Christ, could share him as naturally as we share any other good thing in our life. We're afraid of sticking out as weird. There are things called podcasts today. If anything is weird, it's that. The reality is that you now can share at any given moment. You can share and people just expect you to like speak into their life and talk to you about stuff that's changed their life. And they'll go and subscribe to people to do that for themselves. I mean, the reality is that you at a day now have on instant access in social media and in life. I tell you, there's just no greater time to spread the gospel than the one we live in right now. I fear as if looking back over what the shepherds had to go and tell, right? They knew very little about the plan of salvation, but as the song said, they wanted to tell everybody about it. They wanted to tell everyone, we saw Jesus, we saw the Messiah, we saw the one who came to set us free. We have seen him, and I wonder if the reality of them on their feet, running from place to place to place to place to place, if we will ever be able to apologize enough, if when we have access at our very fingertips, at our very hand, all the while, we don't have to travel miles on foot. You can have access to the people that need to know the message quicker now than ever before. And I tell you, his presence is not weakened even one bit. The presence of Jesus in that manger on that Bethlehem night is as real as his presence this morning at South Knollwood Baptist Church. And his presence must be shared. It must be shared. See, this morning I remind you that his presence demands that we share his presence. We share it in our attitude and in our spirit. I love the fact that in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaks of our good works and he says, you are like a light. We don't cover a light with a basket. We don't cover it with a bushel. We put it on a candlestick that it gives light into all that are in the house. We share it by our joy. We share it by our work. We share it by allowing his presence to influence our presence. His presence, his power demands that we purpose to tell others. We must on purpose be intentional about sharing the love of Jesus Christ with those around us. Our actions and our words and our deeds, and yes, even in the confrontation of the gospel, that we be those who intentionally share the message of Jesus. It used to be days before the Christmas tree that you could pack in a box, you know, kind of that permanent Christmas tree, because you know it's always going to look great year after year after year, even though you keep stuffing it back in that same old cardboard box. It used to be back in the days before the permanent Christmas tree, the fake Christmas tree, as some would call it, that you knew when Christmas was over because you could drive down the block and you would just see stacks of Christmas trees out along the street. And I remember I grew up in Johnson County, Kansas, and they said, no more of that. You can't put it out of the curb anymore. Don't do it anymore. So now you couldn't put your Christmas tree at the curb. And so you had to deliver your tree to like one of like many different mulching spots, and they would like turn it into mulch and stuff, like that was cleaner. And then they would take it and they would dump it in the lake. I remember one year we took our Christmas tree and pushed it into the lake so that fish could live in it. I always thought that was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen in my life. We pushed them into a lake. And we see these things these ways that people would handle the end of Christmas. Sometimes Christmas is just, it's over when it's over. Like we're done with it all of a sudden. We wake up the 26th or the 27th or whenever you're done partying, and we wake up and we're done. We're ready to move on beyond it. And sometimes the spirit of that same season goes right along with it. Our patience for one another, our willingness to be understanding and care for others, it has, if we're not careful, a way of creeping back in very quickly. Can I tell you, it's all right if we just hold on in 2019, if we just hold on to the joy, to the patience, the kindness, the love, and that in it we intentionally do so that we might be a better example of what Christ has come to make his believers be. You see, his power demands that we have a purpose, and that we purposefully go and live this life. And his power demands that we have passion for other people. In the 16th century, the Great Commission that Jesus gave his disciples was interpreted by the reformers as applicable only in the first century. In other words, when the disciples died, then we no longer had to give the gospel away. That was the way the reformers treated it. But Anabaptist believers, you say, who are the Anabaptists? Well, they're our forefathers. We just dropped the word Anna off of our name and became the Baptists. And the Anabaptist believers back in the 16th century considered the Great Commission so serious that they spread its meaning across Europe. During this time, an imperial knight known as Droffbrunner, was converted and subsequently ordained as an evangelist. During his 4 months from September of 1527 to January 1528, by the way, in January 1528, he was burned at the stake for what he believed. But during that simple four-month period, he had won to Christ and baptized 3,000 people. 4 months, 3,000 people had come to Christ. It was a man who had decided that he would have passion about that which mattered to God. This morning, before we go, I just want to encourage you that we be people with his presence that share his presence. Amen. Those who have his power to share in his passion, share in his purpose. Yeah.